In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Given how frequently the word is used in modern culture, how often really over time it has lost some of its content, to hear St. Paul speak so eloquently about the reality of charity, the reality of love, is a call for all of us to ponder the motivation for what it is that we do, to come to a better understanding of why it is we do what we do. And of course, that indeed goes to the heart of the nature of truly understanding the virtue of love. We know that a new word had to be invented to describe the love that is made manifest in Christ. Man, prior to the mystery of the Incarnation, knew of romantic love. They knew of love between family members, that brotherly, sisterly love. But this love that gives itself as a ransom for many, this love that willingly sets itself aside that others might live, this love that dies in order that people might be set free, is something new and altogether different. And this is what is required of all of us. To think less of ourselves and to think more of others is a manifestation, the most concrete manifestation of our love for one another. St. Thomas reminds us of this often, and the true understanding and the true power then in the nature of love and the sacrifice that is being asked of you if you are going to love as Christ loves. So to say to people that you know, family, friends, I love you, is not only an expression, if you will, of some emotion exchanged between one and the other, but to say that I love you is to commit to that person, that relationship, a willingness to die for them, to think more of them than you do yourself. Let me repeat that. To think more of them than you do yourself. Of course, the most profound example of this is the mystery of the Lord's cross. The Lord mounts the cross out of love for each of us. He embraces the sacrifices and the sorrows attending to the Via Dolorosa. He does so not only out of obedience, but even his obedience, if that is the motivation solely, is an obedience rooted in love. Of course, the love of the Father, Son, and Spirit brings about creation. The Son, in obedience and love, submits to the work and the will of the Father. The Father, out of love, sends his Son to die in our place that we might be set free. The Son willingly takes up his cross, as he says in our Gospel, going to Jerusalem, where he will be mocked and ridiculed. He will be put to death and only then raised to new life. He does what he does out of love. And so now the word, unlike how modern man might conceptualize it, has its true and authentic meaning, which is why St. Paul reminds us that the foundation of all of the virtues, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Because love gives us the ability to continue to move forward, to move on. It is the motivation for all that we endure. And St. Paul is very clear, no matter what sacrifices we might make, no matter what powers we might manifest, what great things and wonders we might accomplish, if they are not caught up in, bound in, held together by the mystery of love, they are nothing. And so all the great things that you have done, and all the things you may have accomplished, all hopes and failures and dreams only have meaning in context if they can find their correctedness in the mystery of love or find their continuation and their success in the mystery of love. This is what motivates our Lord to heal, to teach, and eventually to take up his cross and suffer and die for us. It is not accidental that this is set before us as we now approach the great Lenten fast, this coming Ash Wednesday. You have had time to prepare yourself, and if you have been caught off guard, then that is your own fault. The Church has given you 3 weeks to contemplate what sacrifices and disciplines you will undertake, and if you have not spent any time doing so, you still have some time to do so. But you undertake those disciplines, you embrace those sacrifices, not out of a slavish obedience to the teachings of the church. You do so out of love for God, knowing that to die with Christ is to actually live with Him. And the question that one must ask himself is, are you truly convicted to embrace the mystery of love to the point of shedding your own blood and giving your own life? And that is not a rhetorical question. Are you willing to die? Because, brothers and sisters, there may come a time, because of the age in which we live and find ourselves, that they will actually ask us to be put to death. This is how the church began, and throughout all of her history, she has suffered great martyrdom. So it's not an impossibility that we might be asked to do the same. But what is clear about the lives of all of the martyrs is that long before anything was required of them in body, they had lived lives of dying in spirit that well prepared them for the sacrifices that they were going to endure. They willingly, joyfully embraced them, which seems at times mind-boggling. But the reason why it's difficult for us to conceptualize is because spending too much time thinking about our own comfort, thinking about our own needs, our own wants, and our own desires. And so, yes, when the cross is placed in front of me, it is not something that I want to endure. But if I can contemplate the love of God, the love of Christ that has been poured out for me, then I might more easily be able to embrace the cross, and to not only embrace it, to do so with that same joy, that same resolve, that same intentionality with which all of the holy women and the martyrs before us have actually done. We must always bear in mind that we are not doing this by ourselves, and God is not asking anything of us that He Himself has not already done. He models for us most especially and beautifully and profoundly the cross itself, so that we might know that that which we are being asked to endure is something that He Himself endured. And of course, He gives us grace poured out upon grace to give us the strength that we actually need. And so, in truth, all things are possible with God. You can die and live a new life. You can sacrifice and find joy within it. You can love others as God has loved you, thinking more of them, desiring more for them than you might think or desire for yourself. This is, after all, what you will be preparing yourselves for when you go through Lent yet again, to strip yourself bare and to undertake these crosses in order that when the time comes, you can truly meet the Lord, understanding what it is that He endured in some small measure, because you yourself followed the Lord in the exact same manner in which He Himself went. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes when I stand up here, maybe it's a question I ask of myself, but I will put it toward all of us, because it is something we need to repeat again and again and again. Do we actually believe and are convicted to live in such a way that the teachings that we profess, the words that we hear in sacred scripture, but most especially the living God whom we are about to receive at the altar of sacrifice, do we actually believe these things? Or are we simply going through the motions, passing on which what handed to us, which is a good thing? After all, it's not a bad thing to sit in peace and quiet for an hour. But you can just as easily meditate at home. There are easier ways to go about thinking about things than there is to come and make the effort to be here. So if you are here, and you are, then your reason for being here must be something beyond merely what feels good or some sense of nostalgia or some emotional connectedness. You must be willing to die for the very things that you believe. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I know that there are times that I am not willing to do that very precise thing. So the asking of this question is not an indictment, but to put before all of us a true understanding of what it is that we are undertaking. And so Lent should be hard, and Lent should be difficult. It should not be impossible. Don't undertake things that you cannot accomplish, but don't lightly excuse yourself from the things that you know you ought to do. Because the more willing we are to embrace our suffering, the better able we are to allow that suffering to be transformative for us and for the whole world. This is, after all, the only way that the world is going to change and be transformed, by the grace of God and the mystery of the Lord's cross. It is that simple. All of the other things we do, all the political machinations we go through, all the societal changes and upheavals that man has gone throughout time and history, all those things only will bring about fruit and completeness in the mystery of the Lord. And that begins with each of us. And so our Lenten journey is almost upon us. As a reminder, we will have Holy Mass both at 12:15 on Ash Wednesday with the distribution of ashes, and also in the evening at 6:30. The 12:15 Mass will be preceded by confession, but because St. Luke's will be having a 5 o'clock Mass, we will not have confessions in Holy Hour as we normally do on Wednesday. Think about what it is that you are going to undertake. Maybe one or two things this year is simply not enough. Maybe 5 or 6 things maybe need to be undertaken. And then resolve out of love to embrace them, and to embrace them well, and to embrace them with joy. We know from Scripture that God desires to heal us in body, just as importantly in spirit. And so let us cry out to the Lord, who indeed hears our prayers. Let us beg Him for mercy now and throughout our Lenten season. Let us pray that He might increase in us that which He embodies and enfleshes completely, this virtue that stands at the heart and the foundation of the Christian life, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.